Welcome back to Eco Talk. And now that we've whetted your appetite for all things organic, lots of good food, especially with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, want to tell you about some exciting news this week to help curb America's huge appetite for oil. And this could be another victory in the making after the good news about ANWR last week. Some bipartisan legislation was introduced in the Congress that really could make a huge difference. And to find out more about that, we're going to check in with Darren Lovis. He is the Vehicles Campaign Director for the NRDC, which is our partner, we're proud to say. He currently directs the Break the Chain Oil Security Campaign and served as chief lobbyist on the Federal Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century Reauthorization Bill. Darren, this is very exciting and none too soon.
I couldn't agree more. We're consuming about 21 million barrels a day worth of oil. And, of course, what we do is we burn that, which means it ends up as global warming pollution. So this is a real urgent need to address this.
Not to mention that two-thirds of it is imported.
Correct, yes. And we're utterly dependent on a whole host of countries, some of which have are either politically unstable or have hostile intentions towards us. So,
tell us how this bipartisan coalition, including a lot of religious leaders, came about.
It formed about a year ago, and it formed among security hawks, religious conservatives, environmentalists, and there's also a little bit of labor involvement. And what we all agree on is reducing oil dependence. We all have different reasons for wanting to do that. For example, the security hawks are worried about being beholden to some of these countries to which we are beholden, whereas NRDC is very concerned about global warming pollution. But we all agree on the goal.
And that's why we started We Mothers, a campaign, a grassroots campaign called Don't Be Fueled, about 3.5 years ago, because reducing our use of gas and increasing fuel economy affects everything from public health to environment to economy to national security. Mileage does matter.
Absolutely.
So what will this do? And tell us a little bit about it and when we can expect to see some action on this legislation that was introduced in Congress this week.
Well, it was unveiled. We made a big splash today, and actually there is a House companion bill. And both of these bills, which is very unusual for Washington now, are bipartisan. In the Senate, you have 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats backing the bill. In the House, you have 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats backing the bill. And what both these bills do is require that the federal government come up with a plan to save oil. And specifically, it sets a couple of targets, so a couple of goals that we need to achieve 10 years from now and 20 years from now. And then it specifies a whole host of flexible means for achieving those ends.
I have to mention that we are recording this program on Wednesday afternoon. You're hearing it on the weekend. We have to tape it a few days ahead to get it to New York in time to turn around. When can we expect action on this?
Well, the sponsors are very committed to expanding the number of senators and members of Congress backing the bills. And then this needs to be taken up by relevant committees. And then, of course, it needs to come to a vote on the floors of both the House and the Senate. You know, we're expecting action early next year. So, and this is, I mean, our work on this has just begun, but it's begun with a bang, and we're very hopeful.
And the fact that it has bipartisan support, and it is exactly the right time to incorporate some of these measures, which we should talk about, actually. How will we reduce our appetite for oil through this legislation? I know it addresses hybrids and using more alternative fuels.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it actually, in addition to the plan, which is sort of the centerpiece of the bill, it specifies that we need to make it more efficient use of oil in transportation, particularly how trucks use oil, and also requiring a more fuel-efficient tires. And then there's a whole host of alternative ways of fueling our transportation sector that are encouraged. For example, more use of a new kind of ethanol that's better for energy for the environment, called cellulosic ethanol. So,
before we get too far into that, I just want to thank you for that. We're going to switch over now to Lisa Speer, also with the NRDC. She's a senior policy analyst dealing with drilling issues, coastal drilling. And first of all, I'm wondering if what happened this week has anything to do with the defeat of the effort to drill in ANWR.
Well, we're very excited about that victory that we celebrated last week. And a lot of it has to do with what Darren has just been talking about, which is that there are a lot better alternatives to developing public lands around the country offshore and in the Arctic Refuge than has been proposed. And I think the legislation that Darren just spoke of is one example of how this country can much more effectively and in a much more clean and effective way meet its energy needs. And so we're very, very, very excited about the wind in the Arctic. On the other hand, the offshore oil and gas activities represents an area where we continue to see efforts to tack on to the reconciliation bill, which is currently under consideration on the House side, provisions that would open up areas of the what's called the Outer Continental Shelf. These are areas of federal land that lie beyond the three-mile limit of state waters and extend out 200 miles from our coastlines. And most of our federal lands offshore along the East Coast and the West Coast and in parts of Florida have been protected for many, many years from oil and gas development. And the proposals that we've seen crop up in the last few weeks would open those areas to oil and gas development, which is a proposal that we take a very dim view of.
And we only have about a minute left, Lisa. I should mention Lisa Speer is a co-director of NRDC's Oceans Program. That's why we're speaking to her on the threat to open up more coastal areas to drilling. What can our listeners do if they don't want to see us go in that direction?
Contact your members of Congress. Tell them to support the legislation Darren just spoke of instead of legislation to open our precious public lands to oil and gas development.
Yeah, don't you hate how they're always saying, you know, yes, we need to get off oil, let's go drill. And that's obviously not the way to go. This legislation really is the most hopeful sign I've seen in a long time.
Yep.
Okay, anything else we should know in the last 30 seconds? About the what to watch for, anything coming up soon on the horizon?
Well, I think, you know, we can never rest on our laurels. The Arctic will be back again, I'm sure. We'll always have to keep up the fight. And in particular, push for the kinds of alternatives that we talked about earlier in the program.
Thank you, Lisa Speer with the NRDC. And we want to say again that we are proud to be sponsored by the Natural Resources Defense Council, the nation's leading environmental action organization. We'd like you to visit our website, and you can get more information about our guests and about the shows and about EcoTalk's need to stay sustainable, to practice what we preach. We need your help to stay on the air into 2006. We hope you can help us. Go out and have a great green week, and please be more ecocentric whenever you can.